Thanks for joining us on the NRT Now podcast, part of the largest Christian music site online, newreleasetoday.com. Sit back and relax as we chat with your favorite artists, introduce you to new artists, and more. Now here's your host, Jake.
Hey, y'all. Welcome to episode 41. So this is part two of a conversation with Jeremy from Fearless BND out of Fearless Church in LA. So if you get a little bit lost through this episode, either after you listen to this episode or maybe hit pause and go back, but I would check out episode 40. It gives a lot of context for this part here. Jeremy talks about the history of the church, where they've come from, and a bit of a makeup of what the church is and what they're doing right now. This episode, it walks through more of their theme, Fearless, you know, Fear Not. It's the theme from their latest release that is, I think at the time this is released, just a few weeks old. He also really talks about loving the church family, you know, his church family there, while comparing biblical Christianity with movements that are happening in this country, while we're being told what to think, what's okay, what's not, by our media, by politics and all that. And it was just so amazing for me to hear and just the approach that he's taking with us all. So without further ado, here's part two of the conversation. Shifting towards the message of Fear Not, which happens to be the title of the new album.
Yep.
Strangely enough, with everything that is going on between the protests, the riots, COVID and all that, I just kind of want to talk down the path of, you know, Fear Not.
Yeah, I mean, well, what a time for this album, huh? What a time for this anthem. I mean, even the song Fear Not, it's last on the CD, so it hasn't got the plays that it's worthy of yet, from what I'm seeing in the back end. But I think it's because people are trying to listen to the CD as a whole. It seems like the first couple of songs are getting more plays. But I really feel like when people discover that Fear Not song, along with the Fear Not spoken word. So it starts out with the Fear Not spoken word, ends with the Fear Not song. I really feel like it's the anthem for what we're in right now. In our church, it became the anthem for our church. It was a song that really the melody came to me while I was walking in our city. And just that word Fear Not was the only word I had with the melody. And my wife began to put other words to it from different scriptures. But it's like what God's been writing in us that song since we started this church and really our journey with fear. And it's in the spoken word. You know, one line I say in the spoken word that kind of tells you why we titled it Fear Not is from the book of Isaiah. I kind of look at it this way because God says to fear, he says, fear not. That's what he says, you know. And so I say in the spoken word, for everything fear has to say, God has one thing to say. Fear has a lot of things to say. It just talks. It doesn't shut its mouth. It's like Chatty Cathy. It just keeps chatting in your ear. You know, when you try to sleep, when you're alone, when you're with groups of people, it just won't shut its mouth. And it doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter what race you are. It doesn't matter if you're a girl or a boy. It doesn't matter if you're cool, you're not cool. If you feel like it doesn't matter if you're successful, you're not. It doesn't matter if you're rich or poor. It talks and it just talks. It yaps. It reminds me of a chihuahua. And I say, for everything fear has to say, the Bible declares God has one thing to say. Fear not, for I am with you. That's the anthem of this Fear Not. You know, fear not. I'm with you. You're with us. And if God is with us, what do we have to be afraid of? You know, when you were a kid and you had that buff friend or that friend that was really good at fighting. And so, I mean, if you weren't with them, you know, unless you were that friend, for me, I was a short, stubby kid. I wasn't very good at fighting or sticking up for myself, but I had a friend, his name was Mike. And Big Mike, man, I mean, Big Mike would just hit his head on a wall, a brick wall, and just laugh. I mean, as long as Big Mike was with me, there was no one was going to mess with me. And so I think, number one, we could picture it like that. If when God's with us, there's a confidence that comes from that. There's a courage that comes, not from the fact that we even got any stronger, because I'm not any stronger. I think we get it mixed up. We start trying to work ourselves into, I can do this. No, you can't do this. I'm good enough for this. No, you were never good enough for this. It's that God is with us that now we can face the fight. I think beyond that, I would say God gave me this greater revelation of the fear not, for I'm with you. Here's why we can fear not, for I'm with you. Because the Old Testament says God has one thing to say to fear, fear not. The New Testament says this. And by the way, there are 365 times God tells us to fear not in the scriptures in different ways. And so one for every day. It's kind of cheesy, but kind of cool at the same time. And so in the New Testament, when you hear about fear, you hear this wording, perfect love cast out all fear. It hit me in a different way when I read that this year, because I've been trying to kick fear out of my life. I've been trying to be like God and say, fear not, get out of here. You're not going to rob from me. You're not going to take from my life. And God's like, no, no, I'm going to tell fear, you're not going to take from my kid. And I said, what do you mean? He said, who kicks fear out of the room? And I said, I read it again. Perfect love kicks fear. He goes, are you perfect love? I said, no, I'm jacked love. I'm trying to love right. He goes, you're not, you don't love perfect. I love perfect. And he said, here's what you've got to do. Because I love you, you can love me. Come to me. Come pursue me. Come after me. Quit focusing on fear. Quit focusing on what's going to go wrong. Quit focusing on what you failed at. And focus on me. Come after me. Come towards me. And when you come after me, as you're coming after God, picture this as you walking towards God, turning from fear, walking towards him, God is going to look over your shoulder and kick fear out of your life. Perfect love kicks fear out of the room. And so this is why we had to make a worship CD and we called it Fear Not. Because if you want fear removed from your life, you're going to have to press into his presence. And if you're going to press into his presence, you need worship. Worship is the greatest way to come before God. The Bible says he's enthroned in our praises. Literally, he makes a throne. He sets up a throne. This wording here is like when a king would set up a throne in enemy territory. When we begin to worship, the King of all kings sets up a throne in the middle of that sickness, in the middle of that fear, in the middle of that anxiety. And as the king, he rules on fear. So why call it Fear Not? Because that's what the whole CD is about. When you press in and worship through this CD, when you start with that spoken word and you hear that word and it's encouraging, and then you step into some of that joy and you break off some of those chains, and then you go into some of the deep worship. By the time you get to that Fear Not song, we're praying that perfect love has kicked fear out of your life, because the presence of God is in your environment, enthroned in your praises, and fear begins to leave. What you were worried about when you started is not there anymore. What you were stressing out is gone because God has kicked it out. And really, bro, I feel like we have to do this every day, every time it comes on, every moment. It's not like, oh, I did it once. At Fearless, we have a saying. We say, love more and fear less. Love more and fear less. That's the symbol that we have. It's the greater than less than sign. When I love more, I can fear less. And in other words, when I take a step towards love, perfect love, fear is less in my life. And so we always say being fearless doesn't mean you're swimming with sharks tomorrow, or you're jumping out of an airplane, or you're all of a sudden you were an introvert and all of a sudden you're in the life of the party. Being fearless means you take one more step towards love and one step away from fear. And so we feel like every day you wake up, you put this CD on, or you put worship on and you listen to it. We pray that there's not just a whole bunch of new listens. We pray that there's the same people just putting the CD on every morning. Give it a listen every day, once a day, 50 minutes, put it on in your environment while you're working or whatever, start to finish, and let it change the atmosphere of your room. In fact, one of these songs, we've seen it bring healing to an environment. One of these songs, At Your Name, my wife wrote that song. And cool story about that song, when we were getting it mixed, it was 3 a.m. and I was so tired of working on that song. I had heard it so many times and I'm like, God, what am I doing? I'm so tired of drum sounds. I said, God, I need a vision of how to write this song, how to work on this song. And God gave me this vision of hope of a man in the hospital, or a person in the hospital, getting healed by listening to this song. There was a healing atmosphere that came over the room. And so I said, okay, God, I don't care what time it is. I can do it for that. Well, sure enough, 3 months later, when we had released a live version from our conference of this song on YouTube, I happened to be in the hospital getting a cyst removed from my body. And the live stream came on and the song I was working on, I'm in the room and it hits me. I was the man in the hospital.
Wow, that's crazy.
And so I didn't know if I was going to get healed, but I knew God had gave me a vision of this, that this song was going to bring healing to a person in the hospital. I said, God, that's me. And so sure enough, bro, I went into surgery and the doctor could not find the cyst. When I woke up, they said, sir, we got into your body and the cyst was gone. We can't explain it. It's a modern day miracle. If you believe in God, wow, your God healed you. And so that happened, first of all, from this song. Then second, my wife's dad, his name's Glenn Berteaux, he's a pastor. He died of a cardiac arrest. We were on vacation. She got a call. Your dad's dead. He's not breathing. He had heart issues. He already had several heart attacks. He just dropped dead of a cardiac arrest. They didn't know how long he was dead for. They put him on life machines that were keeping him, you know, his air going. His brain was swelling. They put him in an induced coma. The doctor said, bring your funeral clothes. He's dead. There's no bringing him back. Even if we bring him back, he's brain dead. So we got there. Long story short, my wife and all of us obviously were praying over his room. Hundreds of thousands of people from all over the world, as he's a pastor, all his friends were praying over him, TBN, all these networks. He's a major author, and they were praying over him. Thousands of people were praying over him on Instagram, social media. And my wife just began to sing this unreleased At Your Name song. The song goes, at your name, sickness has to bow. At your name, the name of Jesus, healing's coming now. And she's singing that in his room. As she's singing it, the nurse was in there and she said, wait, what are you doing? And she said, oh, I'm sorry. I'm singing over him. She said, no, whatever you're doing, keep doing it. Something is changing in his vitals. Something was happening. And in fact, in that same day, he started, as she began to sing it more of him, he started moving his fingers. Today, this man is fully alive. He's a modern day miracle. He's a Lazarus story. All the doctors can't believe it. In fact, several of them pulled the plug and gave up, and a doctor snuck in there and put the plug back in. Wow. That believed in healing. So he wrote a book recently about healing. And so it's just this crazy thing, this song. So if anybody's sick out there, I just encourage you. I mean, I don't know what it is. I really don't know biblically how to even, but I just know twice at this At Your Name song on this CD has brought healing as we worship to that in environments of sickness. So what a time during COVID to use that. I think all these songs could do that. I think a lot of worship songs could do that. But there's something special about this At Your Name song that God is using.
That's so cool. I guess I just kind of want to finish up just as we're talking about fear not, we're being bombarded every day with everything.
Every
day. Kind of pull back to that. We have experts telling us this. We have other people telling us this. It's all over the map. I think part of the fear is like, we don't know truly what to believe and all that.
Yeah.
I kind of want to hear kind of the pastor, you know, the fear not side of it, of just processing what we have. And we hear that if we're not X, if we're not epidemiologists, or if we're not black, or if we're not a member of whatever group, that we have absolutely no opinions on any of these matters. I guess I just kind of want to hear the fear not take on just being able to use our brains and just think through what we're hearing and what we're seeing and process that as, as we process our fear.
Yeah, totally. And yesterday I was at Target. My wife was getting something and there were two guys out in front of Target just going off on each other. One guy had the full face mask shield, the respirator mask, and his son had it and he had his gloves on. Wow. And he was yelling at this other young kid guy that had no mask, and they were just getting on with each other out there for about 20, 30 minutes. I mean, people were just yelling at each other, just like all their stats and all their opinions. For us, being fearless doesn't mean being wisdomless. For us, we always said for our church, we're not wisdomless church. You know, we need to use wisdom. Wisdom is knowledge lived. So I think today in our Instagram, Facebook, social media, Google, in our Google world, everybody's an expert on everything until it's disproven or debunked, and then you got the news going crazy, depending on what news station you listen to, what you believe. And if you don't listen to news, it depends on which Instagrams you follow. You know, I got some people that follow Candace Owens in my church and some people that follow Sean King in my church. I don't know if you know those two different, you know, polar opposite commentators, and they have way two different opinions, and they both have a lot of great things to say, things that make a lot of sense together. So for me, I've found I have to be careful even in all of my following, what I follow and who I follow, because and who I listen to and what I allow my ears. And even if I love someone, to go, what is the truth? What is the truth in this matter, God? I want to know the truth in this, because I don't want to just have an opinion. I don't want someone else's opinion to become my opinion. I'm a kingdom thinker. I want to have your opinion. Like, so I think the first thing we need to do is we need to go, God, what's your opinion on this? Right? So I always say this, bro, religion seeks to be right. Here's Jesus shows up to the earth, and the Pharisees were seeking so hard to be right. They were trying to disprove Jesus. In every Bible story, we're not Goliath. We're David. We're not the army shaking on the sidelines. We're David. You know why? Because we always want to be the hero. But are we sometimes maybe the army on the side of the... I mean, I think I'm the army shaking in my boots while Goliath is there. And Jesus is David. And so I think it's in the Bible, instead of looking for ourselves, we need to first look for Jesus. Whoever the hero is in the Bible is Jesus. And whoever the person that's still the bonehead trying to get it, that's us. Not that we're an idiot, but whoever the person is being saved, that's us. I'm the army that God's saving from Goliath. In the scriptures, we need to see Jesus, but we need to see, man, I'm Peter, the disciple who's still trying to get it, who's telling Jesus, oh, wait, not yet, or I'm cutting the guard's ear off, or maybe I'm the Pharisees that are questioning everything God's doing, and I got it all right. And so I think religion seeks to be right, seeks to have an opinion, seeks to say, this is you didn't do this scripture, you didn't do that. And so religion seeks to be right. Politics seeks to be heard. We got our banners. Do you hear me? My voice matters. My vote matters. I'm thankful that my vote matters, but does it really? You know, I mean, sometimes you feel like maybe it does. Maybe I'm not advocating for not voting, but I mean, dude, I live in California. No matter how I vote, it's always going to go a certain way. I voted that they wouldn't charge us for plastic bags. And guess what? I have to pay for plastic bags because somebody's worried about the turtles. I'm worried about paying extra 10 cents. I hate that I am, but that's me, right? So politics seeks to be heard. Religion seeks to be right. But a kingdom person, remember, we're aliens and strangers of this land. I'm not saying we can't be political. I'm not saying we can't have theological things that we believe and we stand on. But what I am saying is we need to first be kingdom sons and daughters. And so our job as believers is not to be heard, is not to be right. It's to love and to serve. Jesus didn't come to be heard. He didn't come to be right. Look, if you're right, you don't have to prove being right. Yep. He would say things like, he with ears, let him hear. So obviously he wasn't heard. Yeah. he would tell his disciples, are you going to leave me too? Can you even, he wasn't even heard by his disciples. He wasn't even heard by his own mom. He wasn't heard. So Jesus didn't come to seek to be heard or to be right, because he already knew he was righteous. He came to love and to serve. So this is how I've just chosen to lead in these times. As a believer, as a father, I'm just saying, God, how do I love and serve in this moment? I don't need to be right. I don't need to be heard. I got to find out what's right for my family, but I don't need to tell everybody else what they need to do. You know, if my family's wearing masks, we're going to wear masks. I'm the leader of my family. And so I'm going to do my research. I'm going to find the right mask. I mean, my city was saying, just wear a cloth covering. I'm not wearing a cloth covering. Why? Because I've done my research. A cloth covering does jack squat. You need an N95 mask. Well, those are only, well, that's politics. I don't care. My family's going to be protected. We're going to wear the right mask. But I'm the leader of my family. I'm not going to try to push that on everyone else. You know, we have a certain things that we do in our family. We get groceries. But hey, that could change if I get new information that says something different. A lot of our stuff we were ordering from China with our church. So I was getting wisdom from them. Hey, how'd you survive? You were living in Wuhan, China. I have one guy that I was buying stuff from that lives in Wuhan, China, the place where it originated from, and he didn't get sick. So I said, dude, tell me how to survive. Tell me how to. And so he gave me tips. Hey, do this, do this, do this, and you'll be good. And so for my family, we were doing that for our church family, but I'm not putting it on Instagram. Hey, you need to do this. You need to, why? Because my Instagram is going to be a hub of my ministry, and that's everybody's prerogative. But for me, I feel like my call is to love and to serve. So I'm going to use my platform to love and to serve even recently, there's a big debate, you know, Candace Owens and Sean King, right? Black Lives Matter, the statement Black Lives Matter, because the statement is also tied to a movement. And the movement is tied to a belief system. And the belief system does not fully line up with our Christian beliefs. You got abortion in there. You got the leaders of the Black Lives Matter movement are lesbians. And so you got an agenda in there for some of these things that maybe as Christians, I mean, at least when I read the Bible, that do not fit in with my belief system. And so, you know, we marched in our city and the Black people in my church needed to hear me say to them, not to the world, to them, Black lives matter. And I said that. I chanted it with them. And someone else got on my Instagram and said, Pastor, how could you ever say Black lives matter? You know what that move? And I said, look, I'm standing for the statement Black lives matter. But for the movement, I'm not letting anybody tell me I have to vote a certain way, or that's not up to the white people, the Black people, the Asian people in my church to tell me how I have to vote. That's a personal thing. That's something I read the scripture. I look at what I believe, what I want. Neither would I stand up on my pulpit and say, you need to be Republican. You need to be Democrat. Why? Because Jesus was none of those. He was not an elephant or a donkey or even an independent. Jesus was a son of God. And so our first assignment is we are citizens of heaven. That doesn't mean we can't be political, because in our system, we have to vote. We don't have to, but this is what we do, right? But we need to remember that, first of all, Jesus wasn't Republican, Democrat. He wasn't independent. He was about his Father's business. So when we vote, when we do these things, this is what we preach into. You just be about your Father's business. If that's the first agenda, then you let everything flow out of your life in that way. And so, you know, with the Black Lives Matter, I constantly state to our church, I'm not saying that I'm for or against the Black Lives Matter movement. I haven't researched it enough. And from what I see, I don't know if I could be. But I am for the statement Black Lives Matter. And the reason why we say that in our church is because that's the house that's on fire. It's not that all lives don't matter. And I don't think that's what's being said. It's that this house is on fire right now. And I would say we have police officers in our church, and we have good police officers in our church. And I hate what our system is doing to our good police officers. I mean, are you kidding me? Yeah. Defund the police. Like, you know, one of the guys in our church was talking about defund the police, and we just had a private conversation. And I said, look, do you mean something different by that? Or do you mean like no police? Because who are you going to call, bro? Yeah. Like, how's this going to work? And he said, yeah, I guess, Pastor, you're right. You know, because he had a son that stopped breathing. And he said, yeah, I did call the police when my son stopped breathing. He was so angry at police officers because he had been unjustly stopped by a police officer. And he was hurt by that. And I said, well, that's not every police officer, you know, like just like every pastor is different. You know, some pastor commits a moral failure. It doesn't mean I'm going to do that, or I'm that pastor that hurt you. But people do that. We tend to see things as in a rearview mirror. But he said, yeah, I guess you're right. It was a police officer who also saved my son. And I said, you got to ask why you're leaning on one side rather than the other. You're leaning on the police officer that pulled you over unrightfully, but not leaning on the police officer that saved your son. And so, you know, we just try to have real conversations. But in our church, I try to just say, you know what, I'm not coming at this as I know it all. I'm more asked questions like, why do you feel that way? Tell me, because I don't know, at least from our church and from the friends that I have that are Black, I don't have a Black friend that hasn't had to have that talk from their dad. Even the ones that haven't had a run-in with the police. I have a friend, Josh, who's our drummer. He's never been like wrongfully accused or something. He's Black. He hasn't been wrongfully accused by a police officer. I have other ones in our church that have. But he said, my dad did give me the talk when I was 15. And I go by that talk because his dad was wrongfully accused, which his dad is an amazing guy. He's a board member of the church. His dad got wrongfully accused accused of being someone else. So he had to give him the talk. But he wasn't bitter at police. He just said, I'm giving you this talk because this is how it is. And so to me, that's not okay. To me, it's not okay that I didn't have to have that talk for my dad. And my kids, I'm probably not going to have that talk, but our Black brothers and sisters will have. So I'm looking at God, how can I help this moment? Because in our society, that's not okay. We have to change that. But we have good police officers. you know, we have black police officers, we have Hispanic police officers. You know, I was at a rally recently that where I was speaking, and I was the only white person to speak. And there were police officers invited, but you could feel that they were feeling pretty depressed about what was being said about them. And white people were not being talked about real well at it. And I get it. You know, some white people are idiots. You know, not all white people are, but some white people are. Yeah. All races have people that are idiots. You know, there can be an idiot in every color. Absolutely. So there are idiots that are white people. There are stupid white people. And so quite a few people had said something bad about white people or whatever, and that they had run in with. And here I am, a white person invited to speak. And I'm just like, all right, God, this is awkward. Number one, I don't even feel like I'm the right person. And I just felt the Holy Spirit say, no, you're the exact right person. And so I just got up there and I just started praying, because here's police officers. The police officers were black. And I could tell there was just a depression coming over them. Like, you know, we give our lives and here we're getting put in the same category as these guys that are getting convicted for murder. And we're trying to help people. And so I just like, God, what do I do? I just felt like the Lord said, prayer unifies. So I got up to that speech out in the open, the only white speaker, and I just began to pray, Holy Spirit. And something about that prayer shifted the atmosphere. Again, I bring it back to this. We've got to be kingdom first. We've got to stop giving our opinion and start sitting and going, God, I don't know everything. Just because I read it on Google doesn't mean it's true. Just because I saw a statistic doesn't mean that statistic is always true. Like, how did they do that statistic? How many studies were, I mean, they only pulled people in this college at this age, and it's debunked 2 years later. One day, your iPhone is going to give you cancer, and the next day it's healing you of it. You know, even if you're the scientist, they eventually go, I was wrong. Oh. There's another billion stars out there, you know? So at the end of the day, guys, if you're watching this, look, no one is an expert. No one knows everything. And ultimately, racism is a sin issue. It's an issue of the heart. There are people, there are systems that are racist. It's a sin issue. And we need to focus on destroying the sin, not destroying the sinner. And we need to forgive the sinner, and we need to be angry at the sin. And so we can't say that about the church for other sins like homosexuality and not say that for the sin of racism. We have to love the sinner and hate the sin. And so that's hard to do. That's hard to do for a person who has been a person that has been affected by racism. And so, I mean, I don't know how deep you wanted to go into this, but I'm not afraid to talk about this, because I think we all have an opinion. I feel like everyone is an Instagram prophet or a Facebook know-it-all. And all we do, all I get all day is everybody shared videos from the person they follow. And what I would just encourage people to do is to not try to tell everybody how much they know, but to begin to lean in the Holy Spirit and say, God, how can I love and how can I serve? How can my tweets bring love and service? Because that's all Jesus left us to do, is to love and to serve. And that's what we've been trying to do as a church. And look, you're going to be hated for that. Jesus was hated for it. I'm hated when I don't do what everybody wants me to do. The same person that I was shouting with Black Lives Matter is like, why aren't you shouting it now? Well, I'm dealing with a different thing now. I'm not any man's dog to hunt. I'm not your puppet. I'm not your pulpit. I am listening to the Holy Spirit and saying, Holy Spirit, when do you want me to talk? When do you want me to be loud? There's a whole thing about our governor said, no singing in church.
I wasn't going to bring that up, but you know,
no singing in church. Now you can meet in groups of 100. You can protest in groups of 1,000, 10,000, but you can't meet more than a group of 100. So we're doing it. And then now no singing, but you can shout at a protest. Well, that's a double standard. And that the same constitutional right that lets us protest and why they won't stop the protest is the same constitutional right that gives us the right to freedom of religion and speech and worshiping. And so it's a break of our constitutional rights. So I didn't say anything on Instagram because I'm like, I just don't feel like I'm supposed to say anything yet, because we still are going to sing. I don't care what Newsom says. We're going to sing, and send me to prison singing. Yeah. Let me be Paul in prison singing. I'm going to sing while they've got me on the inner cell. Instead of doing an Instagram post, I preached a whole sermon on it. So I said, I can talk for 5 minutes and let everybody's comments come in and try to deal with the Instagram prophets, or I'm just going to preach a whole sermon on it. So Sunday morning, I preached a whole sermon called Worship is Our Weapon. And we talked about being a worshiper. I gave enough clips and quotes for another year of Instagram. And I said in it, hey, I hope Gavin Newsom listens to this. I want to pray for you. I want to love you. But if you're going to come against my worship, worship is my weapon. And you're not going to stop my praise. And I get what he means, but it's just a double standard. It's just so silly. But again, as Christians, we can't look to our government to save us. One day we're going to have to come against probably what our government asks of us to be believers. One day it's going to get harder and harder. There is going to be persecution that comes to America. And I know that we call it land of the free, home of the brave. On our money, it says in God we trust, but it's a secular nation. I mean, it is, even though that's there, it's not a nation that worships Jesus. And so we got to stop looking for America to save us. And we got to start going, okay, God, we live in like Rome was to the Christians. We got to be ready for persecution. We got to be ready to go to prison. Is our church ready to go to prison for singing? I say I am. And I believe Fearless Church is. I don't believe a lot of Christians are. I believe even in the pandemic, a lot of Christians just stopped going to church like they stopped going to the gym. They became lazy and it wasn't real to them. If it's real, you don't stop when the doors are closed. You look for ways to serve. Many of our church are now on unemployment. They lost their jobs, and now they're starting to get on unemployment in their faith. They're trying to collect checks from heaven while doing nothing with their faith. Faith without works is dead. I mean, I have a lot to say on this, so you got me on my soapbox. But, whether you agree with me or not out there, that's okay. This is for me and my house, for me and my church. We're going to love and we're going to serve. And we have opinion about stuff, but everybody always doesn't need to hear your opinion. Sometimes your opinion needs to be thought through. Sometimes your opinion needs to be prayed through. Sometimes it needs to become wisdom, which wisdom is knowledge lived. Have you lived that for a little bit? So you've heard it, but have you lived it? For me, I'm not black. So no matter how much I study the black agenda and race and all this stuff, I can't live what someone else has lived. So in order to get wisdom from that, I have to lean on my black brothers and sisters. I have to lean on my family that are there for knowledge in that area, for wisdom. And I can have knowledge, but I can't have wisdom until I lean on them. Then I can gain that pearl. And so we're just trying to do that. We're asking people that are hurting, how can we minister to you? How can we love you? We try to love on people till they ask why at Fearless. We're meeting their physical need before we try to meet their spiritual need. Not that we don't try to meet their spiritual need, but we're feeding them before we say, hey, can we feed you spiritually? We're feeding them till they ask, why are you doing this? We're saying, oh, glad you asked. That love is not from me. That love is from Jesus. That joy you feel is not because I'm a happy person. I was depressed and God gave me joy. And so we're just loving and serving. We ask every day, God, how can I love and serve? And if you ask that in any situation, how can I love and serve our gay community? How can I love and serve our black community? How can I love and serve our police officers? You have to ask that. How do you not be right? Try to be right and try to be heard. That's political and that's religious. And those are the things that we want at the dinner table. We want love at the dinner table. And people are drawn to that. They're not drawn to religion and they're not drawn to politics. They're drawn to love. Religion and politics divide us. They put us in our corners. But love and servanthood, which is love, draws people to the presence of God in your life.
So cool. And the way my pastor says it, Pastor Stephen, he says, sometimes people need a sandwich before they need a sermon.
Yeah. They need the bread.
So in my mind, I had that conversation going towards like coronavirus numbers and knowing.
Oh, okay. Yeah. But, not racism.
Well, I mean, that was what I had in my head when I first asked, about staying.
You know, I would say this, bro, like stay informed. Like, I mean, for us, like we're always trying to figure out because it is definitely political what's happening. You just see it all over. There's a lot of political stuff that's going on. It's an election year. There's just a lot of chaos. You know, there's a lot of stuff getting uncovered, lies. If you've ever heard of the Enneagram, I'm a number 4 on the Enneagram, which is a creative, but I'm also a number 6 and a number 8, which a number 6 is a pessimist. I don't believe anything just because you said it, just because the news said it. But I'm a number 8, so I'm a number 6 and a number 8, my personality. And so a number 8 is the kind of guy that goes, forget the mask, breathe the air. Yeah. And so I find myself doing that, but then I'm also a number 6 that's like, oh my God, we're all going to die. What if it's real? What if this is a plot on the Chinese government to kill us all? You know, so I've got my mask, but then I don't want my mask. And I'm a creative. So creatives, man, I can create anything in my mind. So I can think of the worst and I can think of the best. And so I've had some like emotional moments with this. My wife is very solid. She's just always faithful and always fearless. So if you're out there and you're a creative, this hasn't been easy for you. Maybe you've liked it. If you like to be in your house and you don't like to be around people, but if you like to be around people, you've hated this, but just feels like, where is the hope in sight? What do I believe? What do I not believe? And I would just say, man, just keep studying, keep researching. I would say, find what you're comfortable with and don't try to push that on everybody else. I don't think everybody needs us each to be each other's hero right now. I've found people don't believe something because you say it. They believe something because they believe it. So we've become like those guys on the side of the corner saying, you're going to hell, turn or burn with COVID. Everybody that doesn't do this is the enemy. It's like, no, just do what is right for you and forget about worrying about everybody else. Like, do what's right for you and your family. And that's what we've kind of done. People come to my house and we're wearing masks out and I don't know where they've been. I'm like, dude, can you put on a mask? You know, and some people like that and some people don't. And it's like, well, if you don't want to do it, then don't come over my house. And I think there's certain people that I've loosened up with. You know, for me, I think I've been all over the scale on this. For me, I think I've already had it, to be honest. In January, I got super sick. We were coughing all over the place. I'd like to get the antibodies test to figure where I'm going. But I don't think, bro, I have the answer to this. But I feel kind of tired and weary of the people that are experts, that are just like, they're an expert and they're not an expert. Here's the deal. To me, it's like saying you have the corner market on God, because I don't think anybody's an expert on God. Like, the older I get, the more about him I realize I don't know. I feel like with this virus, the more longer it sits here, the longer I realize even the experts don't know. So if the experts don't know, how is anybody an expert? So I just think at the end of the day for us, you need to do what's right for you, but you need to put that in the presence of God. You need to kick fear out of that. But being fearless doesn't mean being wisdomless, right? You know what I'm saying? Like, if the virus is real, being fearless could still be wearing a mask, you know, staying 6 feet. If it's not real, then yeah, we shouldn't wear, but we don't know that yet. We don't know what's really going on. And I think looking back, hindsight is 20/20, but in it is not. So for me, for our church, we're just following the guidelines that we can follow and be safe. Not everybody in my church believes it's real. So some of my team doesn't like to wear masks, but I'm like, if you're going to serve at the church, we're going to follow these guidelines to honor our government. Now, here's the deal. The moment they take away from what God's called us to do, they tell us you can't worship, forget the government. And in other words, forget the government. You know, we're going to sing. We're going to worship through our masks. We're going to do what we can do to honor what's there, what they've asked us. But we're not going to be foolish. I mean, people call me the devil for having a drive-in service because you can't worship that way. I'm like, what does it say in the Bible? You can't worship in your car.
Yeah.
Now you've put religious rules on it. It has to be in a church building. Well, the first church wasn't in a church building. That's religion. The first church was in a house in the upper room. And the first church, when persecution came, scattered. But God was in it. God was in the scattering. God is in what he's doing now. So you got to trust him. And I think actually it could be, to me, more fearful to like rush back when really maybe we're not ready to go back, because you're fearful you're going to lose your building, or you're fearful people are going to stop tithing, or you're fearful their faith's going to fall apart. For me, maybe their faith needs to be tested. Maybe they need to have a pastor stop nursing them from their breasts, stop nursing them from the pulpit. Maybe people need an experience with God on their own. There has to be a moment where the birds have to leave the nest. And so for us, I've been excited about this because I feel like I'm not nursing people anymore. They're having to find their own journey of faith. Of course, we're equipping them. We're giving them tools, but we don't have meetings every day. I mean, we have online stuff, but you can't just come and sit in a church service and let someone preach for you. Let someone open the Bible for you. You're having to hunt. You're having to dig it yourself, which is creating strength in you. So for me, our church is smaller now. because not everyone's coming to the drive-ins, because people fall off when it's not convenient, when it's not American Christianity. You know, the Chinese church, the church that is prohibited, they can't worship in the freedom of their home. They worship in basements. They don't tell people about their faith. The persecuted church, that's a strong church. If you ask them, how long of a sermon do you want? They say, do you have all day? And can you come back tomorrow? What subject do you want me to preach on? Whatever one you want. You know, in the American church, they say you can't talk longer than 15, 20, 30 minutes. Why? Because the American church is full of junk. They don't need their faith. It's an extra. It's an add-on. It's like going to the gym. It's like attending a movie. And so now God is going, I'm going to be center again. And persecution does that. Sickness does that. Pandemics do that. It re-centers us and goes, what matters? What's important in my life? If I get sick, do I believe he's a healer? Do I believe he's protecting me? Though 1,000 fall to my left, though 10,000 to my right. And here's what I would encourage you if you're watching and you're in a creative like me. It's not easy going through this. If you're having anxiety attacks and stuff like that, you're not a Christian. You're not a believer. It's normal to have anxiety attacking you during this time, especially if you're a creative. But here's what I encourage you. Something that I had to do, because I would watch the news. We had the news on all the time. I'd watch the news. And God said, stop watching the news. And so I said, well, I need to watch the news. I need to be informed. And said, God said, gather the news, stop watching it. And so it was a different way. I go and get what I need, and then I turn it off. I go and read what I need to read, and I get what the count is for the day, and I turn. If that's not helping me, turn it off. The number to me is not helping me. So someone else, it may help them, but it doesn't help me for what I do. To see what bills are being passed, what checks are being sent out, how I can help my people, that helps me, because they say Billy Graham would preach with a newspaper in one hand and a Bible in the other. I would ask what newspaper, but he preached with a newspaper in one hand and a Bible in the other. So in other words, he was gathering the news. He was submitting it to the throne of God. So I just encourage, if you're out there or creative, gather the news and use it to write a song. Gather the news and use it to paint a picture. Gather the news and use it to influence someone, to use it to give courage and hope and love and joy through you. We have the hope of the world. It doesn't matter what comes. It doesn't matter what comes in this lifetime. We have a home being built for us, a house that has many rooms. God is preparing a place for us. This is not our final resting place. This is a reminder that the things that we hold so dear, our Apple iPad, our iPhone, our even our family, these, the things that are set up now are passing away, and we are from another place. And so when we look there, we put more weight there, and then we become secure here. So that's my encouragement to the people out there.
Man, that's so good. So I definitely want to thank you for, like, this went way beyond what I was expecting. But man, it's so good. It's so good.
And you got a pastor in the band.
Oh, that's so cool. But we definitely appreciate you hanging out with us here for a while.
Yeah, man. And if you're out there, go check out the new CD, play it, listen to it once a day, download them. Let us know what your favorite songs are. We wrote all these songs and we're sitting here going, does anyone like the songs? You know, you put it out there. You don't hand out CDs anymore. You put it out there and you just don't know for months at what people are listening to. So if you can, on our Instagram, on our social media, let us know if something's touching your life, because we worked hard on this music and we worked hard on it for you as a gift to you. So we want to know if you like the gift. If you hate it, you love it. Let us know so we can keep making more of what you love and less of what you don't like. So
cool. Well, we definitely will. And like you said, listen to it a ton, guys.
Come on. Awesome. Thank you for this time, man.
Thanks for hanging out with us for this episode of the NRT Now podcast. Be sure to subscribe on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever you listen to podcasts. And special thanks to Neon Feather for providing our theme music. Make sure to check out newreleasetoday.com and our socials for more great content. See you next episode.